right, take your Bibles. Let's go to Joshua chapter 3. One thing about these long chapters, you have to break it up in two or three sermons, and if you happen to miss one, you might not gather where we're at. But we're in Joshua chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 6 tonight, go through verse 17, and we'll be able to get, it won't be as painful as you think it'll be. We're in a section of Scripture, forward by faith. Last week we looked at the first two principles, the four essentials, if we're going to go forward in life by faith. And it relates to the analogy of the crossing of the Jordan River with the Israelites. We learned last week that if we're going to go forward by faith, we need to be sanctified. We need to be set apart unto God and to holiness. We saw that in verses 1 through 5. And then we need to follow the leader. Of course, as they follow the Lord and good doctrine and moral behavior. We saw that in verse 7. Now, we're going to look at the last two points, last two essentials if we're going to go forward by faith. Number one, we've got to glorify the Lord in verses 9 through 13. And number four, these are in your bulletin, we got to be obedient, verses 14 through 17. Now, I told the church last week that I was, as I had this prepared and I was sitting in my recliner and had my pen and my paper, and I began to jot down some things about, as I meditated on the Word of God, and I began to jot down some things that deal with faith. Faith is believing and obeying the Word of God. Faith is belief and conviction that leads to action. Faith is believing what you can't see. Faith is active, it's not passive. Faith grows, as we talked about this morning, from a mustard seed up to great faith. Faith must be stretched to grow. The only way you're going to grow in the Christian life is you obey the Word of God and you go through suffering and you depend upon Him. And then faith over fear. Well, we know what that means. We see a lot of yard signs today. Faith over fear, okay? And faith always moves forward. It never goes backward. If it goes backward, faith is meant to go forward. Now, let me put it that way. It doesn't go backward. If it goes backward, it's unbelief and not faith. Now, in chapter 3 here, we began to look at last week at an object lesson again that God gives the Israelites as they prepared to cross the Jordan River and enter into Canaan land, okay? And that's the way it is in the Christian life. You're either an overcomer or you're overcome. You're either a victim or you're a victor. And I choose to be a victor, amen? And because the Bible tells us that if we're in Christ, we're overcomers, okay? And so I choose to live the victorious life. No matter what the world is going on in the world, the Lord is still in control. So we ought to be, if we go forward, we need these four essentials. Tonight we're going to look at the third one. And verse 9 through 13, glorify the Lord. Let's begin to look at verses 9 through 13. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. I've preached this passage before, and I always added termites, and he's going to drive all these out. Now, what does these seven nations speak of? It thinks of once we enter the Christian life, we're in a battle with the flesh. We're in a battle of the world. And the Bible, all these ites here represent the flesh coming against us and warring. That's why Canaan land's not heaven. Canaan land is our journey toward heaven, okay? And so he says here in verse 10, he says, and Joshua, verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you in Jordan. You remember the priests would go before the ark? They would carry the ark, and then the people were to be at least 1,000 yards a distance from the ark. And we talked about how we ought to not treat the things of God lightly, right? And respect and honor for God. Then he says here in verse 12, now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel and out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of your feet of the priest and bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And so here we see that we ought to glorify the Lord. Notice that Joshua shares the message that God gives him, and he gives it to the people. Okay? And that's what the Word of God is for. It's for the people, isn't it? Right? And that's why we have preachers. That's why we have teachers. That's why we mentor and disciple one another and each other. It's meant to be shared, right? And so Joshua didn't take all the credit. He magnified the Lord and told them what God had told him. Remember in the Old Testament people would get a direct word from God. He would speak to them audibly. Today he speaks to us through the Word of God and his Spirit. And so I think that true leadership always focuses on the needs of the people, the needs of what God says in the revealed Word of God. And that's what Joshua does here. Joshua did not give the people a religious pep talk. We got too much religious pep talk. We're past religious pep talk, right? We need to get into the meat of the word, right? And how we ought to live today. People don't need this a little soft thing, little soft touch, little nicely filly kind of messages. They need the straight Word of God and what the Word of God brings to bear upon their situation. So he simply reminds them of the promises of God and encourages them to trust and obey. And then in verses 10 through 13, as we look at glorify the Lord, the Holy Spirit gives us two references to the God of Israel. Notice in verse 13, first of all, the living God. And the Bible says that he, I lost my page here. The Lord of all the earth, that's one of them, and the living God. The living God means that God can defeat these dead idols, these seven pagan nations, these heathen nations. He promised them to go, and he'll give them the victory, right? And all these ites that are mentioned in the latter part of verse 10, God promised Israel he was going to give them the victory, but they had to go forward, right? And so on our way to in this Christian journey to claim our inheritance in Christ and live the victorious life, we're going to run across enemies. And our biggest enemy is us, right? I don't know about you, but my biggest enemy is me, right? I can't help how people treat me, but I can help how I react to how they treat me, right? So the Lord of all the earth also speaks that basically, well, I think what it means is Lord owns the whole earth. So one day we're going to claim the inheritance, right? One day. What belongs to God belongs to Christ, and what belongs to us, Christ, it belongs to us. And I think it speaks that we can go anywhere and in every land, every nation, because we belong to the one who owns it all, right? So he's the Lord of all the earth. He knows what's going on. Let me share with you what the Life Application Bible says here about why God told them to drive out these heathen nations. And of course, they didn't in some cases, and they suffered for it, right? So that's the way when we get saved, we got to mortify the flesh. We got to kill the flesh, right? And that's what he's talking about here, figuratively speaking. He's talking about us. We got to mortify the deeds of the flesh that we might live the Christian life. Now, look what the Life Application Bible says about verses 10 through 13, verse 10 and 11 especially. God has punished Israel first for its disobedience. He then turned to the rest of the nations. The people of Canaan were wicked and deserved to be punished for their terrible deeds. It goes on and says, Israel was to be a vehicle for this punishment. God was going to use Israel to punish these pagan nations, you know, just like he did in Habakkuk. He used people to come in and judge his people, Israel, right? And I believe the same thing principle happens today. God will bring in foreign people to give us punishment for our sins. You know, I personally believe that's what 9/11 was all about. It wasn't concocted by George Bush. It was God getting our attention because we are straying from God, right? And he's taking down the hedge of protection. The Life Application Bible goes on. Israel was to be a vehicle for this punishment. More important was the fact that Israel, as a holy nation, would not live among such evil and idolatrous people. To do so would be to invite sin into their lives, right? The principle is the same for us. We are called out of the world. Now we need to go back into the world with the gospel. We're in the world, but not of the world. God has called us out of the world system, not to be like them in ideology and behavior. So if we go among the heathen and live like them, we're inviting sin into our lives, right? And the Bible goes on and says, the only way to prevent Israel from being infected by evil religions was to drive out those who practiced them. Israel, however, failed to drive everyone out as God had told him to do. And it wasn't long before Israel, the nation God chose to be his holy people, began following the evil practices of the Canaanites, right? Look in verse 12 and 13. We see God's plan to cross the Jordan. Now notice verse 12 and 13. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes and Israel and every tribe of men. We'll learn in chapter 4 what these 12 men were to do. And then he says, it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Now, what does that mean there? Well, we'll learn more about the 12 men and what they were to do next week. What do these stones mean? We'll be looking in chapter 4. But if we go forward in faith here, we need to be sanctified, we need to follow the leader, we need to glorify the Lord, we need to be obedient, right? So he gives the plan here for action across in the Jordan. They weren't going to build a ford. They weren't going to piggyback over each other. God was going to provide a way to cross the Jordan River, just like he did the Red Sea. Now, notice verse 14 and 15. God can overcome anything. It was spring flood season in the Jordan. And it came to pass when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they... Again, the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant represents God's presence and God's authority and God's power, right? And it came to pass when the people removed their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. Verse 15, and as they that bear the Ark were coming to the Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth. The Holy Spirit is letting us know here what kind of miracle this is. For the Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time of the harvest. Now what we learned from verses 14 and 15 is as soon as the priests put their feet in the Jordan River, the waters began to part, right? Those who know more than I do, as you look at historical background of the scriptures and what was happening, the water stopped flowing and it stood up like a wall, right? Now, where did God stop the water? Well, we're told in the scripture that it was 20 miles upstream in a little city called Adam, okay? The rest of it flowed into the Dead Sea until there was a dry riverbank there in the Jordan where they stood. So I learned that unless we step out in faith, get our feet wet, we're not going to make progress in the Christian life, right? God will honor us if we take a step forward. And each step the priest took opened the water more until they were standing in the midst of the river on dry land and the people passed by. And as long as they were standing on that dry bed in the Jordan and watching the people go by, there were a million of them, historians say, and watching them go by, you know, they were safe. I thought about this yesterday. What if the priest decided, well, I'm not going to take my post anymore. I'm leaving. I'm going, hey, heck with this. I'm not going to do this, you know. What if they had left their post in that dry riverbed? What do you think would happen, right? They'd all be drowned, right? You know, early in my ministry, if there's one thing I was taught by other men, it was not to desert your post. When we're going through hard times, y'all, one thing y'all got to learn about me, if you don't know it already, unless y'all get rid of me, I am not going to leave you in hard times, you know. A lot of preachers do that. They go through hard times and say, heck, I'm going somewhere else, you know. And they leave. The shepherd should not desert the sheep, right? And we lead the people through the hard times, right? Like we're doing with COVID here. I'm suffering the same as you are, right? And it did me a great encouragement to see more people back this morning, and more people getting well and able to come back. But these priests stood their ground in the riverbed there. And so we need to take a step out in faith. Never God will never open the way for us if we don't, right? We live this life by faith, right? Take one step at a time. And so the crossing of the Red Sea, remember back when they left Egypt, pictures our identification with Christ and our deliverance from Egypt and the world and the bondage of sin. But here the crossing of the Jordan pictures our claiming our inheritance in Jesus Christ, living victoriously as we go through this journey called Christian life. So the title of chapter 3, Forward by Faith. Both the Red Sea and the Jordan River experience are experienced by faith. The people crossed over the Red Sea by faith. God blessed. The people crossed over the Jordan River by faith. God blessed. And I'm reminded of that scripture in Romans and also in Habakkuk about the just shall live by faith, right? Faith to faith. That's how this Christian life is lived, folks. We begin it by faith and we end it by faith, right? Faith to faith. And I told you the story before about the reformer Martin Luther. He was in a Catholic church and he read Romans and he read Habakkuk and he saw, hey, this thing is by faith, not by works, right? And he recanted the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, they killed him. But he died because he was correct biblically. And I know this is going out on live stream, but I want to tell you, we would be shocked today if we realized that the number of people that the Catholic Church has killed in the past because they didn't believe in the Pope. Martin Luther hung his thesis on the door there. I forgot where it was at. You remember, John? Yeah. I can't pronounce that, but that's where he hung it. And he renounced the Pope. The Pope is not the head of the church. If Pope is not the head of the church, who's head of the church? Christ is, right? We don't operate by edicts from a man who's fallible. We operate from the Word of God that is powerful and living, right? And true. And they took his life for that, you know? And this is what happened here. If you read it historically, this is... you know, God did it all. He said, I'm going to provide for you. You're going to cross the river. And now as we begin to get into chapter 4 next week, we're going to see that what those 12 stones, he had those 12 men put 12 stones in the bottom of the dry riverbed as a memorial to the crossing of the Jordan River, right? And we're going to talk next week about some memorials that we ought to recognize in our life and reflect upon and teach our children. God knew that the children would come up to their fathers and their grandfathers and say, what do these stones mean? And they would be able to use those stones to reflect how God wonderfully delivered them, not only out of the Red Sea, but out of the Jordan River, okay? And we need to do that, folks. And I say this with all the respect I have for our local teachers, but especially in blue states, they're not learning history. They're not learning what we learned in school, right? And we need to tell them what these things mean. We need to tell them the spiritual landmarks in the Christian life, right? And how important they are, because there will be a slow drift away from them, right? And I feel so sorry for kids today that don't have parents to take them to church because they can't get what you got and what your children are getting, right? Because they don't know God, they don't love God, they don't serve God. So this is how we cross, go forward by faith, be sanctified. Set yourself apart unto holiness. Follow the leader as he follows the Lord. And you know, and God says, I'm gonna glorify you in the midst of the people, and they'll know that I'll be with you as I was with Moses, right? And then glorify the Lord. Give him the glory, amen? And then be obedient. When it comes time to move, move, right? Wonderful truths from the book of Joshua. Anybody got any questions on chapter 3? Anything at all? No invitation tonight. Anybody got any questions or any insights or insults or inputs? Anybody? All right. God has promised us he's going to take us to heaven. Amen? You ain't got to worry about it. You're going, right? He's promised us that, you know? And, all right. I'm going to dismiss, then we'll go into business conference. Father, we thank you for your word tonight.